Support for KNKX Studio Sessions comes from University of Puget Sound, an independent liberal arts university in Tacoma's historic North End, offering more than 50 undergraduate courses of study, as well as graduate programs in counseling, physical therapy, public health, and occupational therapy. Learn more about a Puget Sound education at pugetsound.edu.
Welcome to the KNKX Studio X in the heart of downtown Seattle. I'm Abe Beeson, presenting an exclusive studio session performance with Jazz Overhaul. This all-star quartet is led by saxophonist Cliff Cologne, with Jake Seeley, Osama Afifi, and Devon Lewis at the keys, bass, and drums. These jazz musicians reimagine classic songs from the grunge era, the music that made Seattle famous. If you know the source material, you'll be amazed and thrilled. If you don't, you can simply enjoy Jazz Overhaul's smart arrangements of powerful, catchy melodies. Either way, it's no surprise this band has been warmly welcomed by music lovers around the Pacific Northwest, and the band just earned a Golden Ear Award from Earshot as the Northwest Alternative Jazz Group of the Year, with Devon Lewis taking home a Golden Ear for Northwest Jazz Instrumentalist of the Year. Let's hear it for the award-winning Jazz Overhaul. Jazz Overhaul, you kidding me? Jazz Overhaul in the KNKX Studio X. Let's talk to saxophonist Cliff Colon, who formed the band. Tell me a little bit about the idea behind the group's formation. I mean, we've heard you in bands before making music out of video games, and this seems a little bit more highbrow, but not too much. It's taking a clever melody that you might not associate with jazz and taking it there.
Yeah, I got called to play a gig over at Bake's Place in Bellevue, and Craig Baker called me and he said, "Hey, I want a jazz band. I want a quartet. I want an instrumental, and I don't want you guys to mail it in. I want you to have some fun on it." So I was trying to, okay, well, what do I do? Okay, let's go. Okay, we'll call Devon. And but we'd been playing a lot of various private parties and things like that, and I was noticing that a lot of times when we're playing an older jazz standard, it wasn't resonating as much with the younger crowd. But as soon as we'd cover a little Nirvana or a little bit more modern, they recognize it, even though we're playing it in a jazz format. So I started doing more and more of that. And then for that gig, I was like, oh, well, maybe we should just do all of that and see how that works. And so then, called Osama, and Osama's like, hey, there's this new keyboard guy. He's really, really good. And he showed me a video of him, and like within 10 seconds, oh, yeah, we got to call Jake. So, and that's how it all started.
And I love the idea of kind of comparing the Seattle sound to New Orleans has a sound, and Motown has a sound. There's Philly Soul, there's Washington, D.C. go-go. So why not celebrate the Seattle sound?
We promote that at the gigs. We try to take the whole approach of what John Coltrane did with My Favorite Things, and taking a lot of Broadway tunes and jazzing them up, and Miles Davis did the same thing. So we're doing the same concept, but we're really fortunate in Seattle that we have our own genre that's based out of here. So why not cover all those tunes? And there's a lot of those tunes, the lyrics in them are very relevant even today for a lot of it's a little dark lyrics, but they resonate with people and they speak volumes today. And we're really fortunate to have so many awesome bands that are from this area, and we're trying to pay tribute to them.
Did I notice a quote of My Favorite Things in that last song? And maybe a little bit of Night in Tunisia?
I don't know where those came from, but...
Now, tell me more about the idea of an instrumental band doing these songs. I understand the saxophone really can emulate what the vocalist does in some of the original versions.
Well, a lot of those bands had really amazing vocalists. I mean, Layne Staley could have been an awesome blues singer or jazz singer if he wanted to. He ended up being for Alice in Chains. But I think a lot of those male vocal tunes from the grunge era work really nice with the tenor saxophone, which is very, kind of in that tenor range of a tenor vocalist. And we wanted to do this band without... A lot of those bands are guitar-driven, and we wanted to be more organ and sax-driven. So for me, as a saxophonist, there's no words to it, and a lot of these songs are very important to people, and so I don't want to mess up the lyrics to either. So there's a great saxophonist, Dexter Gordon. He used to not play songs unless he knew the lyrics to them, like a ballad, even if he knew the changes and stuff. And so I've had to really research these songs. And, hey, what do they mean on Black Hole Sun? Or what's the lyrics to Wood really represent? So I've asked ChatGPT, hey, summarize Pearl Jam for Jeremy for me. And so then I've tried to follow that Dexter Gordon model towards grunge.
Let me talk to our keyboard player, Jake Seeley. I believe you were a baby when the original source material of this music came out. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Nirvana was like 91, right? That is just before I was born. Yeah, 1992. Didn't listen to grunge till I was like 25, so, you know.
I would love to ask you about your role in the band when a lot of this music is kind of guitar-driven, another chordal instrument. Do you feel like you're taking the place of a guitar or just really reimagining?
More towards the reimagining side. I think... It's really important to have like the differential in texture between like the verses and the choruses, because on the originals, there's a lot of stuff going on, huge production, 3, 4, 5 multi-guitar tracks, whatever. And I feel that it's my role to like cover a lot of that texture differential and really elevate certain sections along with Devon. And we just like sort of take the form ourselves with different loud textures, quiet textures, different instruments, mm-hmm. all that good stuff.
Osama over here on the bass. Rock and roll origins were in the blues, so was jazz origins in the blues, but by the time we got to grunge, it felt really removed from the blues to a lot of folks. Do you feel like there is a commonality that the blues roots are there in both?
Yeah, probably, even if like a lot of the musicians that came up with those tunes, you know, they probably grew up listening to a lot of the old blues and rock and, yeah, you know, Zeppelin. Maybe even some jazz. Yeah, Zeppelin. So probably a combination. Yeah, when I started playing with this band, I grew up mostly playing, like, you know, old rock and roll, yeah. You know. And then a lot of R&B and funk and jazz. So I came to these tunes a little bit later. And then you realize, wow, they're really melodic.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And around the corner to Devon Lewis, you've got your own microphone there. Devon, as many people know, has a direct connection to the Seattle music scene. His grandfather was Dave Lewis and really set the scene for a lot of what would come from the Wailers and the Sonics. And even in the 90s, a lot of the musicians were looking back. There was even a Sonics tribute band that featured some members of Mudhoney and Girl Trouble. It was 30 years previous from the grunge days that your grandfather was making music. And now we are 30 years past that. I wonder if you could talk about your connection to rock and roll. It seems like that's Devon Lewis drumming. But do you feel like you're bringing a new ingredient to your style when you play with this band?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think the music evolves. You know, I'm in my head. I'm thinking about some of those old bands. You know, but just putting, like Jake said, put your own twist on it. You know, you don't want to sound the same,
right?
And you can't, you know, because it's a total new group of guys, and you know, the music's changed, but. I like that the fact that we can kind of in a way pay tribute to it, but make it our own. So I think that's important.
I don't want to color too far outside the lines, but I do want to ask Devon about his band, Northwest Deluxe. Tell me a little bit about the idea behind that music.
Well, it features almost all of these guys. You know, yeah, it was like, you know, Cliff had this band, and then I was like, man, you know, maybe we could take it even further, you know, let's do like the early my grandfather's music, Dave Lewis, let's do some early Jimi Hendrix, let's go Ray Charles when he lived here, yeah. Let's do some Ernestine Anderson, you know, and we have Aisha Brooks, you know, on vocals, so we have yet to record a project, but we've been gigging a little bit, so we're kind of just working on our sound.
Excellent. Yeah. Everybody keep your eyes and ears open for more from Northwest Deluxe. Cliff, back here on the Jazz Overhaul scene, the band hasn't made a record. It's rather released a lot of videos. We're actually creating a couple more videos for your content today. Tell me about the concept behind, hey, let's just give the folks some videos to watch.
Well, I think it all started that no one has CD players anymore, so it didn't make sense for us to sling CDs. But for a lot of this music, I mean, we didn't necessarily write it, so it's a little weird. But I like doing the videos because it makes it real. We do this all live. We're not overdubbing and punching and stuff. And so much of music nowadays, not jazz stuff, but the mainstream stuff is a little more produced. And so we wanted to really give the music out for free. Well, you can go watch it on YouTube or watch it on Instagram or TikTok or wherever. We're on all the social sites. And I think it's important to feature live music with real musicians that are, you know, if we mess up, we mess up. That's where hopefully the robots don't play our music down the road. So that's what differentiates us.
I got to ask, there's a lot of folks my age who are actually in some of those bands running around going to concerts. Barrett Martin, a former drummer of the Screaming Trees and Skin Yard, is a jazz drummer now, and you've worked with him. And I wonder if you've had any reaction from some of the old rock and rollers that were connected with this scene.
Not from Barrett. I called Barrett for a gig because I think Devon could have done it. He's like, I'm busy. I'm sorry. But I know that we shared the Marina Albero was filling in with a featured guest, and she was taking a solo on Even Flow. And I think Devon might have sent it to the Stone Gossard, and he was like, oh man, that's good. So that was pretty cool.
That's excellent. Now, this band also, we're really thrilled to have the quartet here. It's kind of the core of Jazz Overhaul, but you're often, almost always, featuring a special guest, too. Singers like Jacqueline Tabor, guitar players like R.L. Heyer, but I think it's so much interesting when you bring in, you were talking about this before we started, about bringing in a second horn.
Yeah, well, a lot of the songs, especially the Alice in Chains songs, for example, there are a lot of two-part harmonies, and Jerry Cantrell and Lane Staley were doing those, and the key to those that music. And so we like featuring. We had Jared Hall, and we had both the Marriott brothers, Thomas and David Marriott. And we had three-part harmony for that. We're looking at booking some additional special guests on the horns. But for me, it's a lot of fun to have the horns. We do feature some guitarists because the guitarists know all this music the best. So Andy Coe and Brian Monroney, R.L. Heyer, and they all. again, they know the songs better than we do, and they add their own twist to it, which is fun. But it's definitely fun. There's so many great musicians in Seattle, so we try to feature all of them. Alexi Nikolai, we had a really, really fun show on that one to wrap up 2023, and that was pretty epic.
Well, here we are in 2024. What's next for Jazz Overhaul? Will there be a record? I know there's an upcoming gig at Bakes Place May 11th. Any other special guests you're looking forward to? Any new songs you're learning from Tacoma bands?
From Tacoma bands or from Seattle? Oh, yeah, I know you want some seaweed in there. So yes. So it's on record now that we have to do some seaweed for Abe. So, I grew up in that area, so the music video on that song, I rode my bike over there. For 2024, we're going to still do special guests. The last gig we did is a quartet. We'd like to bring June out, great trumpet player. I think Jackson Katunga we're going to bring out as well. And RL is kind of our annual tradition in the fall. We'll bring them out too, but there's so many great musicians we have. Like, we're really kind of spoiled in a way. We get to pick and choose. Oh, let's play with so and so and so and so. So, we haven't recorded. We've got to go back in the studio. I think last time was in the end of 2022. Mm. I think if we went in again, we could probably put all of it out on an album and feature more of the Seattle bands. I'm a big fan of the movie Singles, which was filmed in Seattle, and there's a lot more music in that it'd be fun to cover. As far as new material, I'm starting to hire different arrangers because we arrange most of the stuff here, but there's a lot of great arrangers in Seattle too. So we're calling up Peter Adams from Velocity and Dylan Hayes, who's a great arranger, and they should be working right now on some of the songs. So some more Nirvana. I have some Dave Matthews Band because Dave Matthews is from Seattle. A lot of stuff. So Dylan has three songs. Peter has three songs. I'm working on a few more songs, and we'll do some of those. So yeah,
there's a lot more material to work with. It's been a treat to have all four of you here. Let's hear it one more time for Jazz Overhaul. Thank you so much to our Studio X team, and audio engineer Brian Moynihan, video producer Parker Blome, and promotions director Brenda Goldstein-Young, and all of you in our audience for listening today. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your support.